just east of the Deaf and Blind Institute on the empty prairie pastures that was known as Knob Hill, a strange barn-like structure was silhouetted in the dark autumn night, and the atmosphere seemed charged with that oppressive quiet which precedes a storm. If any restless wanderer of the night had happened to be trespassing in that neighbourhood, he would have seen Nikola Tesla inspecting his electrical apparatus in the strange laboratory. But he would have sworn he saw the devil walking, clad in white tie and tails, tall, mysterious and eerie as he looked upward towards the copper ball on the 200-foot mast. Such a wanderer would have seen Coleman Zitto, with his hand tense upon the switch, waiting for Tesla's signal. He might even have heard the tall, weird figure, 2 inches taller that night because of his heavy insulator soles, call out, "Zitto, close the switch now!" But the passerby would have heard no more before all hell broke loose, and the night belched forth flames, sulphur, fumes and rods of fire, like emanations that in seconds reached lightning proportions. He might have been deafened by the reverberations of thunder, loud as artillery battle, as the sound echoed to Cripple Creek 15 miles over the giant ridge. Heavy sleepers over town stirred, and some may have awakened to close their windows. Such thunder might bring rain. Rain could ruin lace curtains. But there was no more thunder. Nikola Tesla's laboratory suddenly became quiet, where moments before more power had been loosed than generated at Niagara Falls. Few people in Colorado Springs knew the importance of this newcomer, or inquired about this unfathomable stranger who folded his long legs into the antlers livery buckboard each day for the jog to his laboratory. Nikola Tesla was beyond the comprehension of the average man on the street. Few knew that already, to his credit, was the invention of the first practical means for the use of alternating current. The invention, plus his polyphase system, that had ushered in the power age. They accepted the arc light on the corner with no realization of the part this man had played in its development. They were too far from Niagara Falls to be cognizant of his name on the plates of the huge machinery there. Turbine generators, rotary magnetic fields and oscillators formed the language remote from their daily vocabularies. Neither could they have been expected to have been clairvoyant enough to have foreseen such developments as radar, television, radio, certain concepts of cosmic force, death rays and thermoelectrons, all of which were to comprise a small part in the myriad of ideas in Tesla's world. So in the autumn of 1899, Colorado Springs concerned itself with culture, the price of gold, railroads to the new mining camps, Paris fashions, and the social whirl. There was scant time for the impractical dreamer who was doing tricks with electricity and homemade lightning, all of which had little meaning and was of absolutely no importance to their daily scheme of living. Little London was asleep.